You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Backstreet's back, all right. When in doubt, talk football. It carries the country. People care about what's happening in the game of football, even if it's not their team, even if it's not their part of the country. There are always storylines, and it's now become year-round.
I have some very urgent and important breaking news.
It's so much more all access, and people care so much more about every little detail, to the point where it's no longer just the head coach's fault. Now it can be the offensive or defensive coordinator's fault, or that, well, of course, it's always the referee's fault.
Not the refs. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And we're cruising into the second week where track and field really do take center stage, along with the knockout stages, if you will, the elimination rounds in basketball and volleyball and soccer. But it's been really cool to enjoy these first few days. And I guess the Olympics did have some events that started before the opening ceremony. So we'll call it about 9-10 days of games. And it's awesome too that we still have a little bit of Simone Biles and Suni Lee to come. So we're not quite done with gymnastics. You'll hear from those two who had more hardware collected over the weekend. But the names that are trending right now from Paris, certainly Noah Lyles, who has earned the title of fastest man on the planet. I wonder if he's ever tried to race a horse. Remember Usain Bolt tried to race different animals? So Noah Lyles in a photo finish and a personal best wins gold in the men's 100-meter sprint. Novak Djokovic, 16 years. 16 years. That was how long his quest for Olympic gold. And he finally wins it. And he said, it's the pinnacle of his career, considering who he beat and the age at which he is. And I tell you this often, old dudes in sports, they rock. Now, old, it's relative when it comes to sports. Of course, 37, 38, obviously into your 40s, that's rarefied air. It's thin air, if you will, for athletes. And very few continue to compete at that level and with success once they get to late 30s, early 40s. We do have a handful of Olympians that are in their 30s and older, a handful of our Olympians, the United States. There are obviously more around the world that are competing in these games, and it certainly does depend upon what sport they're competing in. It's a little bit different if you're a jockey or a rider and the horse is doing most of the work. And then it's not quite the same experience if you're in your 30s. But a lot of older athletes, especially in the more physical sports, well, they're in touch. And I mean, they are staring their own sports mortality in the face, meaning they recognize the end is closer than the beginning and you cannot take any of these experiences for granted. You don't know how many more opportunities you will get. And here is Novak Djokovic, who at 37 years old, complete emotional, tearful, incredible celebration that takes a couple of minutes for him on the court there. Now, he's familiar with Roland Garros because this is where the French Open takes place. And so, at least in that respect, it was a facility that was familiar and didn't require a lot of adjusting to for these pro athletes. But to be able to capture gold was clearly something that mattered to him even more than the majors right now. And he is, let's see, don't tell me, he is the fifth, I believe he's the fifth member of the Golden Slam Club, if you will. Now, do you know what that is? The Golden Slam is when you win all four majors and a gold medal. Now, if you do it in the same year, that's pretty incredible. That was Steffi Graf in 1988, my favorite all-time female athlete. Andre Agassi, funny enough, her husband did it 11 years later, winning Olympic gold and had already captured each of the four major titles. So husband and wife have both completed the career golden slam. Serena Williams did it. I believe Rafael Nadal has done it. Wimbledon was the last thing that he needed, and he got that a few years ago. So there's your five. Steffi Graf, Andre Agassi, Serena Williams, Rafael Nadal, and Novak Djokovic. It's actually kind of funny because while Andre Agassi was ranked number one for a while, he's not nearly as accomplished as some of these other who are at the top of their games, but or were at the tops, very pinnacle. But yeah, it's kind of neat that there's a husband and wife team. There's Novak and there's Rafa and Serena, best female tennis player ever. So yeah, that wraps up now. Tennis is done. Gymnastics is only going on for a couple more days, but we get the individual event finals now. More time for not just Simone Biles to shine, but Jade Carey, who won bronze in the vault after Simone won the gold. It was a near perfect vault, and it's one that she has performed over and over, and at times limited success. It's one in which she exceeds 12 feet in height off of the springboard up over the top of the vault. She gets so high, it's pretty incredible to watch her, but it's also extremely difficult and pretty dangerous too, especially if you have the twisties. And so she's already won gold in the vault. Jade Carey won the bronze. Suni Lee ends up with a bronze herself in the uneven bars, which is her best event. And there are still floor exercise and balance beam to come in the next day or so. But yeah, to know their stories too, and as much as they've been superstars for these recent Olympics, fact is, both of them went through stretches where they feared their careers might be over. And I was reading a few comments from Suni Lee over the weekend in which she talked about how she put on 40 pounds when she was dealing with the two kidney diseases. 40 pounds that she had to lose. Look at her. I mean, she's in terrific shape, but she had to start all over again, she says, training really from the very beginning and retraining her muscles and her body to perform all these different events. And for her to win bronze, as you can imagine, means so much more, maybe even more so than a gold when it was expected. An unexpected bronze and the joy that exuded from her as she's doing her interview with NBC is pretty amazing.
I think this one just meant so much more because last Olympics I got the bronze medal, but it obviously wasn't the routine that I wanted. So this time I was like, you know what, even if I make podium and I get third place, whatever, it's better than the routine that I did last time. But yeah, I'm so happy this time around because I feel like I did everything in my power to just keep the consistency coming, and that's exactly what I did today.
How have you gotten to this point?
I couldn't do it without the support of my teammates and my coaches. I told myself that I wasn't going to cry after my bar routine just because it was like the last one of the meet, and I'm just so happy that it's like almost over with. But yeah, I've had to go through so much, and my doctors have been super supportive. Nobody ever let me give up, and I'm so grateful because who knows what I would have been doing by now if they did. But yeah, I just can't believe that I'm here.
And she still has the balance beam to come in the event finals. And as for Simone Biles, she's not even done yet, and people are already asking her because she's 27. So we won't put her in the old dude category. But in gymnastics, she is one of the oldest competitors. Certainly the oldest who is a master in all four of the different apparati. But she's already fielding questions about her future and the next Olympics.
Definitely the Yurchenko double pike. I mean, I kind of nailed that one. So, you know, never say never. The home games is the next Olympics is at home. So you just never know. But I am getting really old.
So she's definitely done competing with that particular vault because she kind of nailed it. I love that. The smiles between her and Suni and also Jade Carey, the other Olympian who's doing the event final. They've just been terrific, and each of them have really incredible stories. And that's part of what I love about the Olympics is that often when an Olympian succeeds, whether it's a dramatic victory or not, whether it's a surprise or it's not, I think the one of the coolest parts is that we get their background, we get their stories, and maybe we don't remember them all, maybe we do. I think we'd have a hard time forgetting Simone Biles and her arc after what happened in Tokyo. But in these 2 weeks on the global stage, to have the highlights for so many of these different athletes really underscores what they've gone through. The challenges, the adversity, the years of training, the waiting for their opportunities to come around. You've got one shot. In some cases, you've got athletes who compete in more than one event, but a lot of times it's one shot. And that's the part that I think I admire the most, is that when the pressure is ratcheted up and this is just the one chance, we're not talking about an NFL quarterback who plays for 20 years and has 20 different seasons. We're not talking about a home run slugger who has how many hundreds of at-bats during a year. No, we're talking about athletes who train and prepare for years for this one opportunity. In many cases, they only get one shot. That's what I'm always so captivated by, is that in those moments, human heart and preparation and determination and commitment and everything that goes into that, blood, sweat, tears, heart, soul, mind, body, spirit, all of that, it's a total package for them to be able to succeed. And so I tell you all the time, analytics can only give you numbers. They can only offer a tool as a framework for the past, right? They're framing the past and hoping to predict in some model what will happen in the future. But analytics cannot measure the human heart. They cannot measure what it means to come back from two kidney diseases that were career threatening. They cannot measure joy and how joy and peace and freedom often help athletes to perform at the highest level, whether we're talking sports or anything else. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, online, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours. Easy to find on both Facebook and YouTube. Our YouTube channel a bit dormant during the summertime. Even as we wait for a new producer and for football season, we should have some more goodies coming up as we get closer to football. At the very least, we have to determine whether or not the new producer can wrestle away the login information from producer Jay, who is a bit AWOL right now. Have not heard from him, not since the last time I reached out, but I know he's been chasing a new job, and I hope that it's something that he can be happy with and gives him some joy moving forward. Speaking of joy, so I do love the story arcs in the Olympics, and I also really love the cult heroes, if you will. The athletes who have this one moment and we may never hear or see them again, but we'll always remember this moment. And some people have dubbed Steven Nedorosic Clark Kent for his glasses, and now he pulls them off and he becomes Superman on the pommel horse. Well, there he was at it again. He ends up competing in the individual final on pommel and wins another bronze medal.
I just worked so hard at my club gym, Evo. We put together this plan about consistency. You know, I've been training to be the best in the world for many years, but this time around I trained to be consistent because I was here to represent a team and I was blessed to be part of this final. My last 9 competitions I've hit, and I've never been able to do that before. So more than anything, I'm just grateful to be here and I'm excited to come home with some hardware.
I wish I knew how many Insta followers Nedorosic had before the games, because I've no doubt that his social media profile have blown up his profiles. Right now on Instagram, he's at 252,000 plus followers. I don't know if he'll be in the next Olympics. Again, I do think that the incentive of LA is powerful. But yeah, for him, who has become kind of this geeky, glasses-wearing, pommel horse-dominating cult hero with a huge smile and an amazing story gets carried around on the shoulders of his American teammates when the men win bronze in the team competition. Awesome for him to have a second bronze medal to take home with him and back to Penn State where he's a star gymnast. But yeah, he was on Twix sharing this perspective: bronze team, bronze horse. I am forever grateful to have had this opportunity. This Olympic experience has been everything and more. Thank you to everyone who supported me. Bronze is a great achievement, but I got eyes for something shinier in my future. Hashtag 2028. So there, he's confirmed that he would like to compete again in 2028. And he said after his Saturday bronze, I will definitely be running it back to LA. Yeah, I'm telling you, a lot of athletes are going to stay in the game and stay in competition with the hopes and with the dreams of competing on American soil. But yeah, we've got some cult heroes. We've got some really cool moments that have gone viral. You've got guys who have won millions of dollars in their sport who are reduced to puddles over gold medals. The Olympics are a different breed. They're just different. Even though we do have pros that compete, it's not all amateurs, and they get a little bit of money for winning medals. And yeah, they become household names for a couple of weeks, but it's just a different breed because it pops up in all of its fury and excitement and energy and electricity, and especially the crowds that we've seen in Paris. And then boom, it's gone. And a week later, these athletes, I don't want to say it doesn't matter because that's not true, but the news cycle spins so furiously that in a couple days, in a couple weeks, they're kind of off the radar again. But the thing is, you can't take away those medals. You can't take away those memories. All right, straight ahead. Speaking of memories, a few really sweet memories made at the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in Canton on Saturday, though they did have to wait through a rain delay. That's becoming a common theme now this summer of 2024. So online at A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, love to hear your favorite emotional moments from the weekend. We still got a week to go as well. 855-212-4227. This portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Good morning to you. It's Monday. I'm Amy Lawrence. This is After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
So fitting, of course. Nice touch by Nick, who's hanging out with us on this show as well as on our next show. And then poor guy, he's got to go back to, well, he's doing his full-time job at the same time. He's got to go back to a more manageable life with just one job. When are you going to sleep over the next couple days?
That's a very good question.
Because I need you to not blow up the show tomorrow night.
No, I'll be awake. So the good thing is I get out of my full-time job probably like around 2:30, 3, so I'll have time to go home and sleep.
All right.
And then I'll wake up by like 9 o'clock and then come here and do it again.
Gotcha. So, yeah, so Nick has got another job that he has to do in Queens, and he's going straight there after working overnight here. And I dare say that sometime tomorrow night I might see him slumped at the wheel, slumped over, and maybe even hear the... like his arm accidentally drops down and turns on the microphone, and then he starts snoring. Every now and then we get a caller who falls asleep on the line and we'll get some fun snoring sounds.
Yeah.
I would appreciate that. That'd be fun. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Why the Hall of Fame? Well, because it was Hall of Fame weekend in Canton, and always highlights when the guys talk about their moms, which we'll get to here coming up. But congratulations to Andre Johnson, the great wide receiver for the Texans, who becomes the first from that franchise to be a Hall of Famer.
I'll end off with this. I'm happy as hell again to be your first Pro Football Hall of Famer. Thank you.
Well, and just to clarify, obviously the the Texans franchise because of its history. It's not quite as rich or doesn't go quite as far back, but it's still a worthy one, and one in which Andre Johnson proudly repped and repped really well. So yeah, the number of tear-jerking moments, the number of emotional moments, the different guys who, of course, would go back and thank coaches and teammates, talk about what it means to be a Hall of Famer, but I always am partial to their comments to their moms or about their moms. And so that's a lot of fun to hear a couple of them that stand out to us. Devin Hester talking about his mom, who not only was a teen mom, but had a pair of babies before she was out of high school.
She never missed a sporting event, even if sometimes she missed the first quarter. Mom, all the hard praying and fasting you did were well worth it. Because I can honestly say, out of 350 million mothers who have sons that play professional football, your son is a Hall of Fame.
Really neat. And his mom was there and they were showing her on a split screen while Devin Hester was talking. I don't know if we'll ever see another returner as killer as Devin Hester to go in the way that he did. Not that that was the only thing that he did on the football field, but pretty amazing. I'm a huge fan of Dwight Freeney. Loved his time with the Colts, and I just think the world of him both on and off the football field. And he talked family and talked daughters.
And to my beautiful girls, Olivia and Alana, from time to time, I think about coming out of retirement for just one more year. Until I realize I can't even catch my three-year-old running down the hallway with the TV remote. It's crazy. I went from chasing quarterbacks in the lead to pulling hamstrings chasing my kids.
Good stuff. Yeah, the jokes about getting old are always really funny. So Dwight Freeney, his surprise was probably my favorite among this class of the Hall of Famers because Tony Dungy showed up at his door, who was his coach there with the Colts, and somehow, I don't know if it was orchestrated or not, not sure if I can figure it out. Maybe it was. Maybe Michael Jordan was in on it, but Dwight Freeney gets surprised by the announcement as Tony Dungy shows up at his door, and somehow part of the champagne ceremony is Michael Jordan. They both look like they're in golfing clothes, so maybe that's what they were doing. But yeah, somehow MJ just managed to make it into Dwight Freeney's reveal video. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you didn't see the 85 Bears reunion and the teammates that surrounded Steve McMichael, he was not there, of course. He is confined to his bed. His wife was in Canton on Thursday when the Hall of Famers were introduced pregame. She walked out onto the field in his place and showed a lot of pizzazz and excitement and energy, but was back with him as well as other family members and then teammates from the 85 Bears, and they were able to reveal his bust with his wife mentioned the long flowing hair. They were able to reveal his bust there to him in his room, and Richard Dent is the one you'll hear talking.
Steve, you are here with all your world champion brothers. Back in Canton, we have 378 brothers that's looking for you. You're on a team that you can never be cut from, you never can be released from. When you die on this team, you will still be on it. Welcome home, team. Yes. Well, welcome home, Steve. That's
it. Football heaven.
Forever. Yeah, football heaven.
Forever.
Forever. Forever.
You can hear his wife there, and also his daughter was on hand because he is unable to get out of bed and has lost the ability to speak. But you could see his eyes moving, which I thought it was just neat how his wife moved his head so that he could see the bust and he could see all the people around him. How powerful that was for them, I'm sure, that experience as they got together, but also what kindness and what gratitude for McMichael to still be alive and be able to appreciate this in his way. And his sister, Kathy, was actually the one who delivered his speech. She did it in a pre-recorded video. So it was very emotional. He was, what, 350 miles away from Canton, but still very much a part of that Hall of Fame ceremony. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There are more, of course, but just love it when you've got guys who chased down quarterbacks and threw opponents around like they were rag dolls. You've got guys who are big and bad and bold and brash, and yet they get emotional talking about a moment like this. And Julius Peppers is a great example.
Now I'm going to close with what being a Hall of Famer means to me. It's not about how many touchdowns you scored or how many Super Bowl rings you have, even though those things are nice. It really comes down to who you are at your core and what's in your heart. Are you resilient? Do you stand tall in the face of adversity when things get tough? Or do you quit? Do you acknowledge other people's contributions to your success? Or do you make it all about you? Being a Hall of Famer is one of my crowning achievements, but it extends far beyond pro football. It extends to my family, and it extends to my daily life. Everyone can't play in the NFL, and everyone can't have a bus here in Canton, but everyone can be a Hall of Famer in your own life. You can be a Hall of Fame dad, a Hall of Fame student, teacher, spouse, coworker, friend, whatever it is. Whatever it is that you do, do it with respect, integrity, passion, resilience, dedication, and gratitude. That alone will make you a Hall of Fame person, and you too can have a legacy that lives on forever. Thank you, and God bless.
Choosing to inspire the longtime Carolina Panther defensive end, one of the top sack meisters, the top sack daddies. Oh, no, that sounds funny. It's like, I don't know where that came from, my weird brain. But he implored people to live a Hall of Fame life, and I think that's incredible advice. We've each got different callings, different paths, different journeys, but if we do it to the best of our ability, we can impact the people around us without a doubt. Oh, and by the way, Michael Jordan was on hand for his ceremony. Well, was on hand, but was there for him because they both went to the University of North Carolina. So Jordan, it's one of those lives where you see Michael Jordan pop up everywhere and Peyton Manning pop up everywhere. Although, I'm trying to think, would he still be at the Olympics? I don't know if he's still at the Olympics. He was there for the opening ceremonies a week ago, of course. Kevin is in Ontario. Kevin, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you, Amy?
I'm good, sir. Thank you.
Congratulations on your marriage.
I appreciate that.
First off, by the way, do you think that Canada will beat the U.S. in basketball?
Are they actually matching up, and are we talking men's or women's?
Yeah, when the left side comes to the right side.
Men or women?
Men.
I would say yes. I do believe that the U.S.
SGA.
Men will win. Yeah, I know. Shea is amazing, and he has a very bright future in the NBA. I mean, we just saw the tip of the iceberg, I think, with the Oklahoma City Thunder this year. But I still say the depth of the U.S. team is pretty much what's getting them, getting their opponents, but what's getting them to the point where they can pull away in the end. It's not so much about the starting five, right? Or if Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is better than, I don't know, pick a player on the U.S. team. It's about the depth.
LeBron.
Yeah, they don't really play the same position, but it's about the number of guys that the U.S. can run out there.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I'm in Milton, Ontario, Canada, just west of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And Shea is up in Hamilton.
That's neat.
Yeah. He's just down the street.
Do you feel like you have ownership then?
No. No. So you went to the Jersey Shore with your boy?
With my boy. I'm sure he'd appreciate being called a boy. Yes, I had to take him to the Jersey Shore for a true beach experience for the first time.
Wow. Good for you.
Oh, well, I do that a few times. Thank you. I do that a few times a summer. He could have stayed home or he'd come with me, one or the other.
Yeah. Here's another one for you. Who were your favorite teams? Major League Baseball.
Who were my favorite teams?
Who are your favorite teams?
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't really have favorite teams anymore. You work in this business 25 years, and it kind of beats that part of out of you.
Come on. You got to cheer for somebody.
No, I don't. I'm telling you the truth, Kevin. You work in this business 25 years, and you really stop thinking about sports like a fan. So
okay.
I would say I grew up at 13. I fell in love with the Denver Broncos and was a rabid fan for years, but it's just not the same emotion anymore. And honestly, I don't like all their quarterbacks and their coaches lately.
Amy, I got a question for you. How young are you?
That's none of your business.
And okay, I'm 59.
Great. Congratulations.
I don't hide it.
I'm not hiding it either, but it's nothing that I need to put on national radio. It's not a question that you should ask a lady.
You are wonderful. I love listening to you.
I'm not 59, if that makes you feel better. Thank you.
You got good banter, and you keep coming back. Oh, my God. Your spirit is wonderful.
I keep coming back even though you keep interrupting me?
You can interrupt me anytime you'd like.
No, I'm good. I think I've had my fill.
All right. Do you know who my favorite team is?
I would say Blue Jays or Raptors.
Yankees. Wrong.
Yankees.
Wrong.
Well, dude, I'm not going to guess every freaking team on the planet.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay. Gotcha. Phew.
NHL.
Got that out.
You know what? I love when you talk about NHL.
Well, not right now.
I know. It's middle of the summer.
Yeah. And nobody cares right now. Sorry.
You are wonderful. Thank you kindly.
No, thank you, Kevin, in Ontario. All right, Nick, flag that. Flag that
caller
number.
Caller of the night.
Really? Nick was sitting behind the double pane glass cracking up. I'm not sure if he wanted to hear me or if he wanted to hear him. It was one or the other. Maybe a little of both, and he couldn't quite decide. Goodness. I don't remember the last time someone called me up and asked me my age on the radio. None of your business. You walk up to a lady in a public place and be like, hi, how old are you? My gosh. And then he's proudly Torontonian, which is good. Proudly 59, which is terrific. Good for you.
He started, when I first screened his call, he started off by saying he wanted to ask about what your favorite team was. I was like, it's kind of random. So I was like, can you kind of like talk about the Olympics?
We've been talking
about the Olympics. Do you have anything to say about the Olympics?
Yeah.
So then he was like, all right, yeah, I'll talk about the Olympics. And then I was like, all right, if you really want to ask her what her favorite team is, you could do that afterwards. But, you know, start with something that we're talking about.
Well, good. I'm glad that you got him on track a little bit, but clearly he was going to hijack the train.
Couldn't really help him there.
Yeah, I was going to jump the track. All right. Online, A-Law Radio. They're already up and running again in the Olympics. So in Paris already, the track and field events are taking place. Some of the early heats. You can find me on our FB page as well. Do you know I've started, when I text now about social, I text FB or just F sometimes because our phones are spying on us.
So what about Instagram? IG? People call it IG.
I actually don't have Insta. I can't manage more than 6 social media sites. We've got a half dozen now. So anyway, on FB, either Twix or FB, we're going to be contrarians. Easy to find us. Just search for After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And now Flaherty's pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike 3. Struck him out with a curveball. Oh, he's got a good curve tonight. That is his 7th strikeout of the ball game, and there are 2 men out. Now the pitch. Swung on and a ground ball to second, on a short rather. There's Ahmed. He throws on to first. And it's a Houdini for Flaherty. Works out of the bases loaded. No out situation. What a job for Jack Flaherty.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Dodgers Radio, Jack Flaherty making his debut over the weekend, maybe lost in some of the Olympic furor, but a lot of I'm sure, a lot of happy Dodgers fans because they definitely need an injection of consistency into their starting rotation. But just as much as that, you got the consistency of one Shohei Ohtani, who is a starting pitcher's best friend, leading off, of course, because there's still no Mookie Betts until the end of August, we think. And he ends up getting past that 30-30 plateau over the weekend. And so he is now plus 30 home runs and plus 30 stolen bases, which is not common for the Dodgers, maybe a little more common in other places. But for Shohei Ohtani to be doing what he's doing this year, a lot of, you know, a lot of times I think if he only focused on one, hitting or pitching, would he be even better at that particular skill? I think that has to be the case, not only because of his physical preparation, but because of his mental preparation as well. And yet he's a unicorn for the fact that he can do both at the major league level. So, yeah, now sitting on 33 home runs, just shy of 80 RBI. He's hitting over 300. And the Dodgers, this is their first time through with Shohei Ohtani. Imagine what it's going to be like when he is on the mound and he is in their starting rotation, but he's also hitting on a daily basis. The draw that he is already is a global phenomenon, even as we talk about the Olympics. Remember the World Baseball Classic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Jack Flaherty, and his first start as a Dodger. He's able to get into and through, I think this is the sixth inning, if I remember correctly, and did work his way out of a couple of jams, which was big. And what they need right now is someone other than a rookie to be, as I say, consistently eating innings. That's such a huge deal for them because as of a week ago, they had one guy remaining from their starting rotation when they broke camp in spring training. But he was sharp. They get a big victory over the A's. The Dodger starters maybe will start to see their ERA come down because it was near six over the last roughly month or so. The ERA for the Dodger starters, really one of the worst in the majors, along with the Yankees. And even though it's too soon to be scoreboard watching, there's certainly something to be said for the fact that you've now got the Padres and the Diamondbacks both within five games of the Dodgers in the NL West. Also had the Phillies with a shutout win on Sunday against the Mariners. So a battle of two first-place teams there, though, of course, interleague play. And then Orioles and Guardians. Man, what a weekend series for them. Right now, records, well, Guardians are slightly better in terms of winning percentage because they have fewer losses. But the Yankees, the Orioles, and the Guardians all have the same number of wins, 67, and that is the most in the majors. Talk about a race it'll be for best record in the American League if this keeps up. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Tom, who's in Baltimore. Tom, welcome to After Hours.
Amy, guess what my favorite color is? I'm sorry, I'm referring to the last Canadian caller to you. how do you keep your composure?
It's just people. Like it's just a conversation. No biggie.
I know, but I would have went off Stephen A. Smith on him myself. But I love my baseball. I'm a homer. I love my Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on my Orioles? I mean, because they're a young, great team.
Yeah.
And they stumble here and there, but we should have brought Flaherty back, but they Dodgers got him.
Yeah.
Because he played for us last year.
Yeah, Dodgers only had him at the deadline, though. He was with the Tigers, right, before that. So,
But he played for us. He played for us, I think, last year.
Yeah.
So, but I just like to get. I know you're up there in New York, and I know you're a Northern girl, but.
What does that have to do with anything? That has nothing to do with what I talk about on the radio.
Okay, I just want to get your take on my Orioles, that's all.
Okay, my take.
I had to call the Canadian caller. That's the only reason I called, because I heard him and how you kept your composure. You're great. I love you. Listen to you all the time. I'm driving to work right now. I get up 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm on the road, and I listen to you every morning.
Awesome. Well, where I'm from has absolutely nothing to do with what I think about the Orioles.
You're a Broncos fan. That's terrible.
What does that have to do with baseball? Okay, so this is why I don't bother talking about teams that I root for. All right, Tom. I appreciate your phone call.
All I want to know is how you feel about Orioles.
I gotcha. I'll answer the question once you hang up. So the Orioles obviously have a great offense. The young hitters, the sluggers that they've got, led by Gunnar Henderson, fantastic group of young hitters. Their lineup is definitely formidable. They certainly have had stretches where their lineup has gone quiet, which is tough to do when you've got the guys that they do. I love Corbin Burns at the top of their rotation. Great addition for them. And he is certainly a guy that, should he continue through, would be considered for the Cy Young Award. So I think the experience of last year, the guys that were part of it in the playoffs, winning the 100-plus games and getting to the postseason, that was huge. Sometimes it takes a team time to win together. I love their leadership as well. Like I said, Gunnar and Adley and some of the young guys, they bring eyes to the TV. They bring butts to the seats. They're dynamic. They're a lot of fun to watch. And their staying power, too. Now, they had to reel in the Yankees. The Yankees obviously went through a really tough stretch, about a month and a half or so, starting to turn that ship around. And right now, Orioles and Yankees have exactly identical records, which is so much fun. See, it's good for them. It's good for them to be pushed. It's good for them to feel the heat of a pennant race and of a stretch run when they get there. I think all of that will prepare them for another postseason appearance. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And it's a Houdini for Flaherty. Works out of the bases loaded. No out situation. What a job for Jack Flaherty.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Dodgers Radio, Jack Flaherty making his debut over the weekend, maybe lost in some of the Olympic furor, but a lot of I'm sure a lot of happy Dodgers fans because they definitely need an injection of consistency into their starting rotation. But just as much as that, you got the consistency of one Shohei Ohtani, who is a starting pitcher's best friend, leading off, of course, because there's still no Mookie Betts until the end of August, we think. And he ends up getting past that 30-30 plateau over the weekend. And so he is now plus 30 home runs and plus 30 stolen bases, which is not common for the Dodgers, maybe a little more common in other places. But for Shohei Ohtani to be doing what he's doing this year, a lot of times I think if he only focused on one, hitting or pitching, would he be even better at that particular skill? I think that has to be the case, not only because of his physical preparation, but because of his mental preparation as well. And yet he's a unicorn for the fact that he can do both at the major league level. So yeah, now sitting on 33 home runs, just shy of 80 RBI. He's hitting over 300. And the Dodgers, this is their first time through with Shohei Ohtani. Imagine what it's going to be like when he is on the mound and he is in their starting rotation, but he's also hitting on a daily basis. The draw that he is already is a global phenomenon, even as we talk about the Olympics. Remember the World Baseball Classic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jack Flaherty in his first start as a Dodger, he's able to get into and through, I think this is the sixth inning if I remember correctly, and did work his way out of a couple of jams, which was big. And what they need right now is someone other than a rookie to be, as I say, consistently eating innings. That's such a huge deal for them because as of a week ago, they had one guy remaining from their starting rotation when they broke camp in spring training. But he was sharp. They get a big victory over the A's. The Dodgers starters maybe will start to see their ERA come down because it was near 6 over the last roughly month or so. The ERA for the Dodgers starters, really one of the worst in the majors, along with the Yankees. And even though it's too soon to be scoreboard watching, there's Yeah, there's certainly something to be said for the fact that you've now got the Padres and the Diamondbacks both within five games of the Dodgers in the NL West. Also had the Phillies with a shutout win on Sunday against the Mariners. So a battle of two first-place teams there, though, of course, interleague play. And then Orioles and Guardians. Man, what a weekend series for them. Right now, records... Well, Guardians are slightly better in terms of winning percentage because they have fewer losses, but the Yankees, the Orioles, and the Guardians all have the same number of wins, 67, and that is the most in the majors. Talk about a race. It'll be for best record in the American League if this keeps up. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Tom, who's in Baltimore. Tom, welcome to After Hours.
Amy, guess what my favorite color is? I'm sorry. I'm referring to the last Canadian caller that you. how do you keep your composure?
It's just people. Like it's just a conversation. No biggie.
I know, but you I would have went off Stephen A. Smith on him myself. But I love my baseball. I'm a homer. I love my Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on my Orioles? I mean, because. They're a young, great team.
Yeah.
And they stumble here and there, but we should have brought Flattery back, but they Dodgers got him.
Yeah.
Because he played for us last year.
Yeah, Dodgers only had him at the deadline, though. He was with the Tigers, right, before that. So,
But he played for us. He played for us, I think, last year.
Yeah.
So, but I just like to get. I know you're up there in New York, and I know you're a northern girl, but
what does that have to do with anything? That has nothing to do with what I talk about on the radio.
Okay, no, I just want to get your take on my Orioles. That's all.
Okay, my take.
I had to call a Canadian caller. That's the only reason I called because I heard him and how you kept your composure. You're great. I love you. Listen to you all the time. I'm driving to work right now. I get up 3:00 in the morning. I'm on the road. And I listen to you every morning.
Awesome. Well, where I'm from has absolutely nothing to do with what I think about the Orioles.
You're a Broncos fan. That's terrible.
What does that have to do with baseball? Okay, so this is why I don't bother talking about teams that I root for. All right, Tom. I appreciate your phone call.
All I want to know is how you feel about Orioles.
I gotcha. I'll answer the question once you hang up. So the Orioles obviously have a great offense. The young hitters, the sluggers that they've got, led by Gunnar Henderson, fantastic group of young hitters. Their lineup is definitely formidable. They certainly have had stretches where their lineup has gone quiet, which is tough to do when you've got the guys that they do. I love Corbin Burns at the top of their rotation. Great addition for them. And he is certainly a guy that, should he continue through, would be considered for the Cy Young Award. So I think the experience of last year, the guys that were part of it in the playoffs, winning the 100-plus games and getting to the postseason, that was huge. Sometimes it takes a team time to win together. I love their leadership as well. Like I said, Gunnar and Adley and some of the young guys, they bring eyes to the TV. They bring butts to the seats. They're dynamic. They're a lot of fun to watch. And their staying power, too. Now, they had to reel in the Yankees. The Yankees obviously went through a really tough stretch about a month and a half or so, starting to turn that ship around. And right now, Orioles and Yankees have exactly identical records, which is so much fun. See, it's good for them. It's good for them to be pushed. It's good for them to feel the heat of a pennant race and of a stretch run when they get there. I think all of that will prepare them for another postseason appearance. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.